Hi, this is Lynn with the On Purpose podcast, and today I have an overview of the Summer Room 5 that happened in October 2020 with Bobby Rowntree, born medium, based in Courtenay, British Columbia on Vancouver Island. Now, it's still called the Summer Room because it's a pleasant place to visit any time of year, and you'll hear later in this recording, it's under half an hour, when Summer Room 6 is happening. We had four personal readings of about 10 minutes each for some of the people attending. I haven't included those. What I have included is a little conversation with Bobby before we started, before people came into the Summer Room. And then some talk about dreaming, because that was sort of a general conversation and quite interesting, I think. And then some testimonials from the people who attended and their experience of the Summer Room. And then after they left, Bobby and I talked a bit more, and that gives you some more information and insight into Bobby and the Summer Room and what's going on. So enjoy. Thanks for listening, and feel free to be in touch. My email is livingonpurposelynn@gmail.com, and Lynn is L-Y-N-N. And Bobby's website is trinityyogaandspiritualservices.com. Bobby Rowntree is a spiritual medium, yogi, and psychic. All right, take care, and thanks again for listening.
So do you have any questions or thoughts or wonders or anything going on?
It's amazing how nervous I get. Crazy. And I said to my husband, I'm so nervous. He goes, you say this every time. And then afterwards you come upstairs and go, I'm so nervous.
A funny process to go through.
And it's because you don't know what to expect.
Well, I know.
Funny because it has nothing to do with me. But yeah, well, what if one day I close my eyes and I can't, what the heck? Gosh.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi, how are you?
Good to see you.
It's good to see you too. I love your name.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question, Bobby.
Okie dokie.
About dreaming is I often ask before I go to sleep, like, let's have a super cool dream tonight. Or if there's somebody I want to come and visit and set that intention before, just when I'm going to sleep, not a big deal. And then when I wake up, I don't get up right away until I just take enough time when I wake up to wait for a tendril of the dream to come through so that I just keep hold of that. And then like Bobby, you said, like the different images flash through. Because I'll miss that, but sometimes I'll wake up and I'll gasp, you know, I'll think, oh my God, that's an amazing dream I just had. Like, wow, thank you. That worked. So that's what works for me.
Every night before I go to sleep, I ask for dreams.
Great. Don't stop.
They'll come. They absolutely will. Because our strongest messages come in our dreams, especially in the time when we're just waking, you're actually in the deepest meditation at that point. And it's getting this stupid thing to so that this thing can tell you what you actually know. Because your poor mind, so earthly, and it thinks this is real and that is real and things like that. And it limits you and it limits the people around you. And there's just really no limits. Well, there's limits. Don't jump off any buildings.
You can set an alarm too to wake yourself up at a time you wouldn't normally wake up, because that'll trigger that up to flow. Yeah.
I know that.
Okay. And actually, I heard this recently that Salvador Dali had this thing. He would hold a pebble in his hand. He would fall asleep and have a nap in his chair, and he'd hold a pebble in his hand. And then when he fell asleep, it would drop and drop onto the plate that he placed below it on the floor, and it would wake him up. And then whatever image was going on in his mind, he would paint that. That's how he got all those trippy paintings.
Oh,
can I ask a quick question, because we're just talking about dreams, because I had this, I could never remember my dreams. So I've started setting the intention to ask for good dreams, because I've had some bad ones. The other night, I could swear that there was an earthquake. Like, I was so scared and my heart was pounding and I could feel the movement in the bed and whatnot. Is that really a dream? Like, because there was no earthquake. As soon as I got up, I was finding out, it was there an earthquake?
You were awake during the shaking of the bed?
It felt like it, but that's what I'm not quite sure. Did it feel like I was awake and I wasn't awake? Like, I don't really know much about dreams.
I think actually you were visited. I don't think it's the first time.
No, but I just thought it was like my mom visiting when it was after she passed away. And like,
yes.
I tried to wake myself up and I couldn't, but it was so definite, defined.
Yeah. Well, that's very interesting, because I would have said like an old lady. I would have thought an old lady died in your house. But I'm not sure that you have an earthbound spirit. I think it actually was your mother walking through your bed.
Okay.
Yes. Because was your mother clumsy or get disoriented?
Not really. I don't think
they show her walking through the center of your bed. Almost looks like she's carrying a cup of tea or something. She never lived with you, did she?
No, I was with her a lot because I was her caregiver. You know, she was really with that all the way until she passed away when she was 94. But she passed away in the bed.
But yeah, I saw someone walking through your bed. I think that was it.
Okay.
I believe, yeah. But usually that is an earthbound spirit, because I have heard of that before.
I think that's the weird thing about it, is it's one thing to sort of think of spirits being around us, but when they cross that line and it becomes like a physical thing, I've had that happen, and it's a different feeling. Thank you all for coming. And if you could just say a few words about your experience of the summer room. And some of you have been here before and some have not been here before, like Lisa and Aaron. So you have different impressions of attending different ones. So Joan, do you want to go first?
Enlightening, totally.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I totally enjoy it.
How about you, Winter?
This is great. Way back in the early 90s, I started studying in this area, but, you know, then life went on. That's why it's interesting. I'm coming back to this and understanding it differently. And your skill, your connection with the other side, I think is very powerful. And I love how you're explaining things to us as we go along, too, so that we on this side can understand what they're doing to communicate and try to communicate with us. And you're a great communicator with them. You know, you bring what they're trying to say to us to enlighten us and to, so really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. And I tell you, if I don't communicate it well enough, they get really mad at me. So, well, not really, they get in my face, which is what they used to always do. Thank you very much, Winter. I try to make it as simple as possible, because it's actually pretty simple.
How about you, Val?
Well, obviously, I'm thoroughly enjoy it because I've been back 5 times now. Every time I learn something from you, Bobby, little bits here and there, and I actually manage to retain a little bit of information, which is difficult for me. I just wanted to say thank you, Bobby, for the discussions we've had about the dead and heaven and hell and all that stuff. My dad is 92, and he's really interested in these summer room meetings, and I've had some great discussions with him. And I know what I've learned from you so far has really put my mind at ease, and I think you're helping him to put his mind at ease about the next step. So that has been very wonderful, powerful for both him and I.
I bet.
Was good. And the fact that you've confirmed I'm not crazy, you know, like a baddie old lady driving down the road talking to myself. Thank God for Bluetooth. People think I'm knocking on the phone. Your energy is lovely. And I thank you, and Lynn.
Thank you, Val. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Val. And Lisa?
I do want to say tremendous gratitude to Lynn and also to you, Bobby, for the opportunity to have a connection that enlivens and inspires next steps. I appreciate that. I appreciate your authenticity. I love okie dokie. There's an authenticity that I aspire to and to tell the story. And the encouragement is heartfelt. So I appreciate that very, very much. So thank you.
Thank you. And when you said encourage you to write the story, I had, please do. in my head.
Okay, fine. I get it.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
And dear Aaron.
Wow. I don't even know. I just feel like it was such a teaser. Would like the opportunity to have more connection. And Lynn, I'm so grateful for you for continuing to try to bring me in. I'm just really grateful. And it was really reaffirming, not at all surprising, and just really bang on.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
So yeah. I would really like the opportunity to hear through you again, if possible. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you to everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, I love doing this. It's fun.
I can tell.
I guess I'm curious how it is for everybody listening to the other people's readings. Do you enjoy that? Does that work for you? I mean, we learn something through what everybody's hearing. Is that true?
I believe that to be true. Absolutely true. There is a responsibility for all of us to be attuned and attentive to each other's communication, because I think that's a gift. So absolutely.
Yeah. And I learned something from every reading I do. I had told someone, I said, I did not know that. Now I know that now.
And it's nice, Lynn, to have you there. So grateful, as Lisa was saying. And I mean, you definitely helped me understand things a little bit more. But to be the moderator, it's been great. Really appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's like I'm the hot air balloon and Lynn's the basket.
Not a basket case, though. That was the other thing you said last time, Bobby, was that you're the why and I'm the how.
Yeah, you are the how.
And how.
Because God forbid I was.
I really like that. That's really cool.
Yeah, this is like my anchor. Here, my root chakra is personified. And I was going to say about your vivid dreams and the visits with your family. Yeah, that's easy. Lynn's dad is a very, very active spirit. Very active, very communicative, and very much a part of Summer Room. Lynn's just taking his physical role.
Nice to meet you all.
Thank you.
Nice to meet everybody.
Bye, Joan. Thank you, Joan.
Thanks.
Bye, Joan. Well, it happened again, Bobby.
It happened again. No. Without our knowing, it happened again.
Yeah. So, Bobby Roundtree, the last time we had a conversation was way back in the spring when the Summer Room was not even a conceived notion yet. And now we've been through five of them, two in July and one in August and one in September and one in October.
Yes.
How's it been going?
I think it's going well. I am enjoying it quite thoroughly, actually. It's so much fun and I'm so scared before it starts because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who's going to be there, what they're going to say, but then it doesn't even matter because it all just comes my face. It was great. It's so wonderful to get to meet these different women that I wouldn't have met otherwise. I think that's really good.
And some men as well.
And some men so far too. Not quite enough men. There's always never enough men.
And we've been taking a few different approaches, but I would say that what people are most interested in is the short personal readings. I mean, that seems pretty clear by now.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. Because it shows more of a, people can see what I can do for people individually. They're more likely to hear what I have to say on a larger basis, I think, a little bit, because then they know it's not me. It's not just some lady from Vancouver Island. It is actually somebody who is listening to something much larger than herself and just able to hear it, say it.
Yeah, and each person's situation and sometimes questions seem to bring through bigger concepts and bigger direction and guidance that normally you wouldn't necessarily maybe think of if it hadn't been instigated by somebody's presence with you who's speaking. So in those situations, I mean, we had four brief readings here in Summer Room 5 and recorded it for people to have a copy of their individual reading on by audio. And I'll be able to pull out some things that would be good for a general thing to go with our conversation that we're having now. What I'm wondering is, through saying all that, is that when you're talking to each of these people individually, are you doing a combination? Like, are you hearing from your own guides and their loved ones? Like, is it a real combination of messages you're getting? Or is it different for each person?
Well, it's different for each person, but it depends on, well, it is and it isn't. My guides go out there and they're at work, and I am not actually hearing directly from them. What I am hearing is directly from the person I'm reading's guides, and they're dead. And it really depends on which force is stronger with the person. Sometimes you get a lot of guide stuff because that's what that person needs. And sometimes they need to commune with the dead because they need to know what has been and get over mourning and grieving. And I shouldn't say over mourning. They need to find a new place with their mourning so it's not quite as painful. You don't get over a death. You just don't. You just get more and more comfortable with the fact that they're there and not here.
Yeah, that's right. It is a change of relationship.
Each individual also, too, teaches me more things.
There's sort of the combination that you don't remember the readings, and yet you learn something. So I think that's very interesting, because I know that when you're doing a reading, well, with me, and now, you know, I hear more brief readings with other people that you're doing through these summer rooms, what I notice is that, yeah, I like that. It's like you accumulate knowledge and awareness through the different things that you learn, and yet you don't remember the specifics. I guess that's what it is, right?
Yeah, because it's personal and it's none of my business. So I like to keep it so that if I see that person again in a social sort of setting, they're not thinking, oh my gosh, she knows where everybody is. And yeah, which I will the minute they freak. Because all of a sudden I'll hear, oh my God, Bobby, shut up. But it's also too, I found that I started asking for that to happen after reading, so that when the person came to me again, I didn't have all this preconceived stuff. I didn't have, oh, this person has this problem, that problem. And you can actually get kind of stuck going down a road like that and then go, what the heck? Because I can always tell when I'm off track, because it feels like I'm working towards the idea rather than the idea is just pop, 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 pop in front of me. So I always know if I'm working for it, it's not right. And so I try to keep everything as clean slate as possible. Like even when Joan and Val were here, because I had seen them before, I try to forget all I know so that I'm not coming in with Bobby stuff, because you don't want to hear Bobby stuff. You want to hear all of them stuff. And okay, I never know what they're going to say to me. Ever do I know what they're going to say to me. Even with your dad. Never know how it's going to go. Never know how they're going to say things, and never know what they're going to find interesting, because I haven't been with that person all that time. There's things that go on in everyone's lives that I'm not privy to. So yeah, it's good for me to have a clean slate.
Yeah. And also because we are constantly evolving, and you don't want to bring in a limitation like that I'm the same way as I was a year ago. I mean, you know, before we came on today, I went for a brief walk in the last light and was just really feeling thankful, you know, for this opportunity and how I get to keep changing and growing and learning all the time. And maybe not everyone has that as a priority in their lives, you know, to keep changing and learning and growing, but I do. And I think you do. And a lot of the people that we're meeting do. And that's encouraging.
Yeah, I think we all are. Changing grows constantly. It's just whether or not you recognize it and move with it, or just keep on smoking yourself into the same darn wall. Just try to go this way instead of that way. We're all being spoken to all the time. So whether or not you want to shut up and listen, because I hear shut up and listen in my head a lot. So I say shut up and listen. Bobby, sit down. Sit down, shut up, listen. I get hurt that. Yeah, because I don't. And I'm supposed to, and I tell people to. I tell people to meditate. I do meditate daily, and look at me. If I didn't, holy Hannah.
Oh, it's a good thing.
I'm a big superhero person, but I like female superheroes because I'm a female. That's why I chose to be female this time, so I might as well like the superheroes. And there's like three. Yeah, there's more coming. There's more big superheroes.
So what do you think? Are we having a summer room 6?
Yes. And when do you want to book it?
Wednesday, November 25th, which is 5 weeks away.
Okie dokie. I don't tend to book on Wednesdays, so my Wednesdays are open there. Yeah, because I'm already almost out of 2020 in my bookings.
Wow.
Do you want to shoot for the 25th for now and then December later if we think that it's warranted?
Yeah, for sure. I'm happy to go just one more at a time. So Wednesday, November 25th. Okay. And then is there anything else you'd like to add to whatever I'll pull together out of this?
And I was thinking about it too. The fact that you introduce the people into the thing, that they have a connection with you, that seems to be better than them having a connection with me.
Interesting. Yeah.
Because you're the anchor. You are the basket. So you've got everyone in there. You're the host. You're just bringing the crazy lady in. They show it to me too. So
very interesting. I just have one more question for you. Is my great, great, great grandfather appreciative that I got his name corrected on the gravestone?
Yes, thank God. And it's something God couldn't do. That's actually what he said. And he said, what a colossal error. Did it actually even make it a different word?
Yeah, it switched, so it made it McCannish instead of McCainch.
Oh, that's a very big difference.
Yeah, and this guy, this inscriber, was able to fix it, and he sent me before and after pictures and an invoice.
And an invoice. Which your grand, yeah, he is that, no. You should not be paying. No. Yeah, he said, I'll follow him home. That's what he said.
Yeah, but he wasn't the one who made the faux pas. It was somebody 107 years ago.
It was a long time ago the faux pas was made. Yeah, and I actually hear someone saying to him, you probably misspelt it in the first place. So it might not have been entirely the person's fault. Might actually have been somebody else's fault. He was given the wrong name. Yeah, that's the way they're making it. But there's a thank you. And your legacy is secure with us.
Oh, that's great. Oh, boy. Well, that's really good. Well, Bobby, thank you so much again for the generosity of your time staying on after our Summer Room 5. And we'll keep in touch. I'll pick it up again, a little later in the month.
Okie dokie. Thanks, Lynn. I actually think I'm reading you before we do our next Zoom, aren't I?
Yeah, on the November 15th.
Yeah, that's right. I'll see you on the 15th, pretty lady.
Oh, yeah, that's 10:30 your time, so 1:30 my time. Perfect.
Feeling groovy.
Can you use that word? Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.